The Exodus Repeated by Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Many instructive parallels exist between the Exodus from Egypt of the Israelites under Moses and the Exodus from the United States of the Latter-day Saint pioneers under Brigham Young. We can learn much from these stalwarts of ancient and modern Israel. Generally, historical sketches and pageants have portrayed well what the pioneers did, but only a few writers have delved deeply enough to explain why. Even fewer have reported the similarities between the pioneer trek and the Exodus from Egypt. An obvious likeness is that both groups had their inland sea of salt water and a Jordan River. But there were many other very significant similarities. Ancient Israel and modern Israel are linked arm in arm. The Josephs. Ancient Israel had leaders before Moses, and modern Israel had a prophet president before Brigham Young. The predecessors for each group also bore a resemblance to each other. A name common to both was Joseph. Joseph, who was sold into Egypt, and the prophet Joseph Smith. Few men in the Old Testament are of greater importance to Latter-day Saints than is Joseph of Egypt. Many of us claim lineage from him through his sons Ephraim or Manasseh. The Book of Mormon reveals a part of the remnant of the coat of Joseph was preserved and had not decayed. Even as this remnant of garment hath been preserved, so shall a remnant of the seed be preserved by the hand of God and be taken unto himself. Alma chapter 46, verse 24. The pioneers were remnants of that precious seed. They knew that Joseph Smith had been chosen by the Lord to take up the labors of the tribe of Joseph, son of Jacob. Centuries earlier, Joseph had prophesied of Joseph Smith and had described their kinship. Yea, Joseph truly said, Thus saith the Lord unto me, A choice seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and he shall be esteemed highly among the fruit of thy loins. And unto him will I give commandment that he shall do a work for the fruit of thy loins, his brethren, which shall be of great worth unto them, even to the bringing of them to the knowledge of the covenants which I have made with thy fathers. And I will give unto him a commandment that he shall do none other work, save the work which I shall command him, and I will make him great in mine eyes, for he shall do my work. 2 Nephi chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. The name of Joseph applied not only to Joseph Smith, Jr., but to the prophet's father as well. Again, I quote from Joseph, who was sold into Egypt. Behold, that seer, Joseph Smith, will the Lord bless, for this promise which I have obtained of the Lord, of the fruit of my loins, shall be fulfilled. And his name shall be called after me, and it shall be after the name of his father. And he shall be like unto me, for the thing which the Lord shall bring forth by his hand, by the power of the Lord, shall bring my people unto salvation. 2 Nephi, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Also see the Joseph Smith translation, Genesis chapter 50, verses 26 through 38. Joseph's son, Joseph, and Joseph Smith had even more in common. At age 17, Joseph was informed of his great destiny. Genesis chapter 37, verses 2 through 11. At the same age, Joseph Smith was informed of his destiny regarding the Book of Mormon. At age 17, he was first visited by the angel Moroni, who informed the boy prophet that God had a work for him to do. He was to translate a book written upon golden plates containing the fullness of the everlasting gospel. His name should be had for good and evil among all nations, kindreds, and tongues. Joseph Smith History 1, verse 33. Also, verses 34 to 41. Both Josephs endured persecution. Joseph of old was falsely accused of a crime he did not commit and was put into prison. Genesis chapter 39, verses 11 through 20. Joseph Smith suffered incarceration on trumped-up charges and false accusations. Joseph's coat of many colors was taken from him by his brothers in a cruel attempt to convince their father that Joseph had been killed. Genesis chapter 37, verses 2 through 33. Joseph Smith's life was cruelly taken from him largely because of betrayals by false brethren. Anciently, when all the land of Egypt was famished, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. Genesis chapter 41, verse 55. In the latter days, people starving for nourishment that only the gospel can provide are again to be fed by Joseph. The Lord declared that this generation shall have my word through Joseph Smith. Doctrine and Covenants, section 5, verse 10. Today we may feast upon the words of Christ, 2 Nephi chapter 32, verse 3, because of Joseph Smith. Moses and Brigham Young. Moses and Brigham Young had much in common. They were astute followers before they became great leaders. Moses had been prepared in the courts of Egypt and had gained much experience in military and other responsibilities. See Flavius Josephus, Antiquities of the Jews. Brigham Young was likewise prepared for his leadership role. In the March of Zion's camp, he had observed the leadership of the prophet Joseph Smith under difficult conditions. History of the Church, Volume 2, pages 61 to 134, and pages 183 to 185. Brigham Young aided in the removal of the prophet Joseph from Kirtland. History of the Church, Volume 3, pages 1 and 2. He also directed the move of the persecuted saints from Missouri to Nauvoo. History of the Church, Volume 3, pages 250 to 252, and also page 261. For both the Israelites and the saints, civil and ecclesiastical law were unified under one head. Moses bore that responsibility for his people. Joseph Smith, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 252. Brigham Young, the modern Moses, see Doctrine and Covenants, section 103, verse 16, led the Latter-day Saint movement west with the Lord's blessing, Doctrine and Covenants, section 136. Moses and Brigham Young followed parallel patterns of governance. Exodus chapter 18, verses 17 to 21, and the Doctrine and Covenants, section 136, verses 1 through 3. Brigham Young organized the large group of men, women, and children for an orderly migration to the West. We lament that leaders of both groups had to endure dissension from their close associates. On occasion, Moses encountered opposition from his beloved Aaron and Miriam. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Latter-day Saint leaders also suffered contention among their trusted associates. History of the Church, Volume 1, pages 104 to 105, and page 226. Nevertheless, the same unified pattern of government will come again when the Lord shall be King over all the earth. Psalms number 47, verse 2, also see Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, and govern from Zion and Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The journey from Egypt to Mount Sinai took about 3 months. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. The journey from winter quarters to the valley of the Great Salt Lake also took about 3 months, 111 days. The destination for each group was described by the Lord as a land flowing with milk and honey. The pioneers turned their wilderness into a fruitful field and made the desert blossom as a rose, precisely as prophesied by Isaiah centuries before. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 15 and 16, and chapter 35, verse 1. Miracles shared. Both groups shared many miracles that are memorialized annually. The celebration of Passover relates to the travels of the ancient Israelites, and each July we repeat legendary stories of our pioneers. Both groups traversed deserts, mountains, and valleys of untamed wilderness. Ancient Israelites left Egypt via the parted waters of the Red Sea as to dry land. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. The pioneers left the United States crossing the wide waters of the Mississippi River, frozen to become a highway of ice. The book of Exodus reports that quail were miraculously provided to feed the hungry people of ancient Israel. Exodus chapter 16, verse 13, and Numbers chapter 11, verse 32. Also Psalms 105, verse 40. The pioneers had an equivalent experience. After the last of them had been driven out of Nauvoo, many were sick and some had died. Their provisions were meager. on the river bottoms near Montrose, Iowa, on the 9th of October, 1846. Many quail miraculously flew into the camp. The quail were cooked and fed to some 640 destitute people. See Nauvoo West, The Mormons of Iowa, BYU Studies, page 142. It was also miraculous that a permanent settlement survived in the valley of the Great Salt Lake. Seagulls that saved the crops were part of that miracle. God preserved ancient Israel from plagues sent upon Egypt, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Similarly, God preserved the saints from the plague of the United States Civil War, which caused more American deaths than any other war. Spiritual strength shared. For both the Israelites and the saints, their travail forged great spiritual strength. They both endured trials of their faith, during which the weak were winnowed away and the strong were empowered to endure to the end. Ether, chapter 12, verse 6, Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verses 4 and 5, and section 105, verse 19. They had to leave their homes and earthly possessions and learn to rely wholly upon God. Protection was provided for ancient Israel by the Lord, who went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, see also verse 22. Numbers chapter 14, verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 33. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19. The same had been said of the divine watch care afforded to the pioneers. History of the Church, Volume 3, page 34. See also Thomas S. Monson in Conference Report, April 1967, page 56. Scriptures given to both societies speak of the strength of the Lord's hand in their deliverance. To those of ancient Israel, Moses said, "Remember this day in which he came from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand the Lord brought you out from this place." Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. To the Latter-day Saints, a comparable scripture was revealed. "For I, the Lord, have put forth my hand to exert the powers of heaven. Ye cannot see it now, but yet a little while, and ye shall see it, and know that I am." Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 119. The children of Israel had a portable tabernacle wherein covenants were made and ordinances were performed to strengthen them on their journey. Many Latter-day Saints were endowed in the Nauvoo Temple before their arduous trek westward. The Israelites gratefully celebrated their exodus from Egypt. The Latter-day Saints commemorated their exodus with the establishment of the world headquarters of the restored church in the tops of the mountains. All celebrants acclaimed their deliverance by God. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 7 and 8. Timeless Gospel Principles. Scriptures available to ancient and modern Israel include timeless principles of the gospel. You may be familiar with the prophecy of Isaiah, "Thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust." Isaiah chapter 29, verse 4. Could any words have been more descriptive of the Book of Mormon coming as it did out of the ground to whisper out of the dust to the people of our day? Other Old Testament passages foretold the Book of Mormon. One such came to mind when I attended a prayer breakfast in January 1997 at the White House in Washington, D.C. During an informal reception that preceded the breakfast, I was chatting with a distinguished and scholarly Jewish rabbi from New York. Our conversation was interrupted by another rabbi who asked his colleague from New York if he could recall the spiritual reference to the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph that would come together one day. My friend paused for a minute, stroked his chin pensively, and then replied, "I think you will find that in the book of Ezekiel." With that, I could not restrain myself. "You might look in chapter 37 of Ezekiel," I interjected. "There you will find the scriptures that you seek." My rabbi friend expressed surprise. "How did you know that?" "This doctrine," I concluded, "is very important in our theology." "Indeed it is. I would like to quote from it. Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 16 and 17. Saints of modern Israel throughout the world are blessed to hold the Bible and the Book of Mormon as one in their hands. The worth of this privilege must never be underestimated. Isaiah described the spirit of the Book of Mormon as familiar. It resonates with people who know the Old Testament, especially those who are conversant with its Hebrew language. The Book of Mormon is rich with Hebraisms, traditions, symbolisms, idioms, and literary forms. It is familiar because more than 80% of its pages came from the same time frame as parts of the Old Testament. Timeless truths and principles of the gospel were and are important to people of ancient and modern Israel. The Sabbath day, for example, was honored for different reasons through the generations. From the time of Adam to Moses, the Sabbath was observed as a day of rest from the labor of creation. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, and chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. From the time of Moses to the resurrection of the Lord, the Sabbath also commemorated the liberation of the Israelites from their bondage in Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20, and chapter 44, verse 24, Mosiah chapter 13, verse 19. In latter days, saints keep the Sabbath day holy in memory of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verses 9 through 19. The restoration of the priesthood rejuvenated the principle of tithing, linking the Old Testament teachings of Genesis and Malachi. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Saints of modern Israel know how to calculate their own tithing from this simple instruction. Those who have thus been tithed shall pay one-tenth of all their interest annually, and this shall be a standing law unto them forever for my holy priesthood, saith the Lord. Doctrine and Covenants, section 119, verse 4. In contrast, have you ever amused yourself with the thought that the filing of income tax returns is a bit more complicated? I'll confess that I have. Turning our attention again to the timeless truths of the gospel, none are more vital than those associated with temple worship. They are another connection between ancient and modern Israel. Whenever the Lord has had a people on the earth who will obey his word, they have been commanded to build temples in which the ordinances of the gospel and other spiritual manifestations that pertain to exaltation and eternal life may be administered. See Bible Dictionary, Temple. The best-known temple of ancient Israel was Solomon's Temple. Its baptismal font and dedicatory prayer provided patterns that are employed for temples today. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 15, chapter 6, verses 12 through 42, Doctrine and Covenants, section 109. Old Testament scriptures refer to special clothing. Exodus chapter 28, verse 4, chapter 29, verse 5, Leviticus chapter 8, verse 7, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 4, and ordinances. Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 and 14, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 9, associated with temples. Doctrine and Covenants, section 124, verses 37 to 40. How thankful we are that the Lord chose to restore the highest blessings of the priesthood to his faithful sons and daughters. He said, "For I deign to reveal unto my church things which have been kept hid from before the foundation of the world, things that pertain to the dispensation of the fullness of times." Doctrine and Covenants, section 124, verse 41. Reveal truth that we know as the word of wisdom came to the prophet Joseph Smith in 1833. Every Latter-day Saint is familiar with it as one of the enduring hallmarks of our faith. The final verse of that revelation forges another link back to ancient Israel. "And I, the Lord God, gave unto them a promise that the destroying angel shall pass by them as the children of Israel and not slay them." Doctrine and Covenants, section 89, verse 21. This reference to the Passover shows that the Lord wanted obedient saints of modern Israel to receive physical and spiritual protection just as he had provided for his faithful followers centuries before. The covenant, the scattering, and the gathering. Our divine teachings revered by both societies include doctrines of the Abrahamic covenant and of the scattering and gathering of Israel. About 4,000 years ago, Abraham received a promise from the Lord that blessings would be offered to all of his mortal posterity. Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verses 29 through 50. Abraham, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Included were promises that the Son of God would come through his lineage, that certain lands would be inherited by his posterity, that nations and kindreds of earth would be blessed through his seed, and more. Affirmations and reaffirmations of this covenant are evident in many scriptures of the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 4, also verses 24 and 28. Chapter 35, verses 9 through 13, and chapter 48, verses 3 and 4. Although certain aspects of that covenant have already been fulfilled, many have not. The Book of Mormon teaches that we of modern Israel are among the covenant people of the Lord. 1 Nephi chapter 14, verse 14, chapter 15, verse 14, 2 Nephi chapter 30, verse 2, Mosiah chapter 24, verse 13, 3 Nephi chapter 29, verse 3, Mormon chapter 8, verse 15. And most remarkably, it teaches that the Abrahamic covenant will be fulfilled only in the latter days. 1 Nephi chapter 15, verses 12 through 18. The Lord once again bestowed the Abrahamic covenant, this time upon the prophet Joseph Smith, to be a blessing upon him and his posterity after him. Doctrine and Covenants, section 124, verse 58. Did you know that Abraham is mentioned in more verses of modern Revelation than in all the verses of the Old Testament? Abraham, this great patriarch of the Old Testament, is inextricably linked to all who join the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Doctrines relating to the scattering and gathering of the house of Israel were also among the earliest lessons taught in the Book of Mormon. I quote from 1 Nephi, "After the house of Israel should be scattered, they should be gathered together again. The natural branches of the olive tree, or the remnants of the house of Israel, should be grafted in, or come to the knowledge of the true Messiah, their Lord and their Redeemer." 1 Nephi chapter 10, verse 14. Saints of modern Israel know that Peter, James, and John were sent by the Lord with the keys of his kingdom and a dispensation of the gospel for the last time and for the fullness of times, in which he would gather together in one all things, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Doctrine and Covenants, section 27, verse 13, compared with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. The travels and travails of our pioneers were of eternal consequence. Their mission was not limited to an international immigration or a transcontinental migration with wagons and handcarts. They were to lay the foundation of an endless work that would fill the world. Joseph Smith quoted in Wilford Woodruff's The Discourses of Wilford Woodruff, page 39. They were essential to Jeremiah's prophecy, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock." Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10. They got the message. Missionaries were sent very early to the isles afar off to commence the work of the Lord. As a result, the church was established in the British Isles and in the islands of the French Polynesia years before the pioneers entered the valley of the Great Salt Lake. The lineage of Joseph through Ephraim and Manasseh is the seed appointed to lead in the gathering of Israel. The pioneers knew, through their patriarchal blessings and the Old Testament, amplified by scriptures and revelations of the Restoration, that the long-awaited gathering of Israel was to commence with them. This ball was in their court. Summary. Early converts to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were pioneers of modern Israel. Regardless of the time or place in which saints may live, all faithful members of the Church will receive their just reward. All things are theirs, whether life or death, or things present or things to come, all are theirs and they are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verse 59. Ancient and modern Israel subscribe to an ageless message of the Old Testament. Know therefore that the Lord thy God keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Upon our shoulders lies the responsibility to keep the faith through our own generation. This ball is now in our court. We of modern Israel are destined to be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. We know that we are children of the covenant. Acts chapter 3, verse 25, 3 Nephi chapter 20, verses 25 and 26. We are remnants of the seed now to be gathered and gleaned into God's eternal garners. Alma chapter 26, verse 5. As saints of modern Israel, we speak with one voice. We love our Heavenly Father. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We are His people. We have taken His holy name upon us. We know the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God and hold it as one with the Holy Bible. We proclaim Joseph Smith as the great prophet of the Restoration, and we sustain President Gordon B. Hinckley as God's gifted prophet of today. Gospel topics: Abrahamic Covenant, Book of Mormon, Brigham Young, Exodus, Israel, Joseph, son of Jacob, Joseph Smith, Pioneers, Temples. Note: this is from a Church Educational System fireside address on the 7th of September, 1997, at Brigham Young University. End of note. End of the article, The Exodus Repeated, by Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles.